Well, this Shavuot marks 39 years I've been attending Roe Yisrael, 37 years as the rabbi here. And to quote an old Far Side joke, I've been preaching on the changing power of Mashiach for 37 years now. So how come you look like the same old group of folk? I read that joke 37 years ago, and I'm still telling it. It is hilarious. It's almost as funny as what the guy told me the other day, a friend of mine on Facebook. He said, I got a great beard for radio. These are my people. Okay. Title of this message is obviously Shavuot, and the New Covenant portion will be from the book of Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 13. And I apologize to those who were expecting the message to be sent to them. I was pretty tired this week and just completely forgot, so forgive me, or don't, you want to hold on to that, that's okay. The Word of God was written long before it was revealed to man. Each word is a thread in this grand tapestry that reveals the face of God. It was written in eternity, and it is unfolded moment by moment as one strolls down this seemingly endless piece of cloth. Every thread is connected to what came before it and sets the stage for what shall come after it. One cannot remove a single thread without diminishing the image that is described in God's Word. When one draws close to this tapestry, he is able to see the intricate weavings and connections of each thread in greater detail. And as one steps back, one can behold how every part fits within a greater context. Images begin to change as you step back and you see how everything fits together. Nowhere are the recurring themes in Scripture more obvious than within the context of the Mo'adim, the appointed times that God prescribes for us in the Torah. We call them holy days, but they are literally Mo'adim, appointed times. These moments are outside. They're outside of time. They speak of things that happened and of moments yet to be unfolded. Those connections are recognized by the words that are used to describe each event. You receive a context for the words that are spoken because the words, for instance, in the New Covenant are similar to the words that describe an event in the Tanakh, and so you immediately connect them. An example would be the words 47 years ago. I don't have to say anything else. You know exactly who said it, when it was said, where it was said, why it was said. You have an immediate context. I could have said 87 years. That would not bring to mind Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War, the Gettysburg Address. But to say it 47 years ago immediately brings your mind to that. And the same thing happens in the Word of God. Over the years, I have emphasized that man is a rather complex creature. He's not angelic. he's not an animal. He is something that exists suspended between those two creatures. We have two souls. Malachim, angelic creatures, animals have one. Man has two. We have the Nashamat Chayim, literally the breath of lives, plural. It's my neshoma, a divine breath that was breathed into me and gives me an awareness of God, a point of contact with divine. Once that divine breath was breathed in, we became Nefesh Chaya, a living soul, a physical breath that gives us an awareness of our physical surroundings, empirical reality, things we can see, hear, touch, feel, etc. Now, if you allow me the use of a Hebrew pun, I will connect two words, be'ivrit, in Hebrew that share no etymology, but they sound the same. The word na in Hebrew is the word please. Hoshiana, save us, please. The word shema is the word to hear or to understand. And so, na shema literally means, can mean, please hear. Without my neshoma, we cannot hear or understand the things of God. We just don't have any receptors. We don't have any sense to the things of the spiritual realm. God first appears in Scripture as a wind. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, Haruach Elohim, the divine wind or the wind of God. It's translated as the Spirit of God, but actually there is no word in either Hebrew or Greek for spirit. In Hebrew, the word that's translated into English, spirit, is actually ruach, which is wind. And in Greek, it's pneuma, wind or air. God first appears to man as a voice speaking words that are carried on Haruach Elohim, on the wind of God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it describes what Adam and Chava heard when they were in the garden. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking on the wind of the day. Man began his life as a wind talker. And the concept of the divine presence as wind is found in many different cultures. We have many of the Native Americans that were here before Europeans came were called the medicine man, the spiritual man in the tribe was called a wind talker. He spoke with the spirits. The Japanese have this same concept. They call their suicide pilots kamikaze. But kamikaze doesn't mean suicide pilot. It means divine wind. In Japanese, Ruach HaKodesh in Japanese is kamikaze. It's a divine wind, a holy wind. Those possessed of this divine breath are the ones who praise the Lord. You hear many times Psalm 150, verse 6 quoted, but it's not in the right context. Let all who have breath praise ye the Lord. It's not speaking to everyone who has a nefesh, a natural breath. It's not speaking to animals. The words in Hebrew, and this is why the Hebrew is so important, let everyone who has a neshoma, this is speaking specifically to mankind, to men and women. Let everything that possesses a neshama, a breath of God, praise the Lord. Not everything that just breathes. Wind is created in a number of different ways. There are physical breezes that are produced by temperature differentials, by barometric pressures. The rotation of the earth produces winds, movement of air. That's what wind is. That's all it is, movement of air. Wind is energy. You can't see the wind. You can only see the result or the effects that wind has on other things you can see. You can see leaves rustle. You can feel the hairs on your skin move when a breeze blows across it. You're not seeing the wind. You're seeing the effects the wind has on things that are around it. Wind is created also when we speak. You can feel it. Put your hand to your mouth and speak, and you will feel wind. My words are carried on the wind that I create by forcing air across my vocal cords. God is holy. When God speaks, he creates a holy wind. And his words are carried on that holy wind. In fact, it is the primary ministry of the holy wind to carry the words of God to the neshama of anyone who will hear. Physical words resonate in our physical ears. They move various bones and membranes, which are translated by the brain into images, concepts. God's word is carried on a holy wind that resonates in my neshama, and it refreshes that divine image in man. And those words feed and are the very life of man. Paul calls those who speak only from the nephesh, the animal soul, he calls them carnal in 1 and 2 Corinthians. They are aware of and speak only of this physical reality and the desires of the flesh. It's all they know. It's all the nephesh knows. While those who speak from their neshama, he calls spiritual. They possess a more ethereal awareness, and therefore they speak from the abundance of a different heart. The mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart. The abundance of the heart is an awareness of what's going on around you and a reaction to it. Those with a neshoma are aware of God's presence and what is happening from a completely different perspective than just the natural, a spiritual perspective. These speak of the things of God because they are born of the wind, of God's breath, as it is described to the woman, to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Shavuot marks the moment when God spoke. We call it the Ten Commandments, but in Hebrew it's the ten words, Devarim, not commandments, it's not mitzvot, it's Devarim. He spoke the ten words to the nation of Israel. And as God's voice was heard speaking on the wind of the day in the garden, so too at Sinai. We didn't see any images. We heard only words. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. Once again, God appears, and his appearance is the sound of words. Israel, and I've mentioned this probably 10,000 times over the course of the last 37 years. Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham through Yaakov, were not the only ones to hear the voice of God on Shavuot as we stood before Sinai. The scriptures describe this great mixed multitude of Jews and Gentiles, men and women, those who were slaves and those who were free. Everyone who left Egypt, who had the faith to enter into the homes that were covered by the blood of the Lamb, and the faith to continue traveling with Israel, every one of them heard the voice of the living God speak at Sinai. It was not only Israel. When God speaks to a man, it appears as a gentle wind. The wind is soft. The words spoken are gentle. They're almost quiet. At Sinai, he used his outdoor voice because he was speaking to 2 million people. And that scared the people. The word of God carried on his holy wind spoke a holy nation into existence. And many of the nations who were gathered with Israel at Sinai joined with Israel. In Exodus chapter 12, we're told that if you want to celebrate the Pesach, you know, there's one law for the land, but if you want to celebrate Pesach, you have to join with Israel. And many did. We follow that same protocol with the table of the Lord, communion. Everybody is welcome here to do and partake of everything except communion. If you're not a believer, you shouldn't partake of the communion. Same thing with the Passover, the connection. These things connect, these threads connect throughout Scripture. God desired us to be a nation of priests, to serve him, and to be a testimony of his presence, his reality in the world that he created. What took place on Shavuot, or as it is called in the Greek, Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, must be understood in the context of what took place on that first Shavuot at Sinai. Not everyone in that mixed multitude spoke Ivrit, Hebrew. The Jews did. They were known. Their name was the same as their language, Ivrit, Hebrew. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, describes what the people gathered at the base of Sinai saw and heard. Roim et hakolot ve'et halapidim. This is often translated as thunder and lightnings, but literally, that's not what it means. Literally, it means, and they saw the voices and the torches of God. God's voice appeared at Sinai as fiery torches. As I brought out in the introduction, our sages believe every word in Scripture is important. There are no superfluous words. There are no mistakes. They note that God's voice is singular. When God's voice was heard walking on the wind of the day in the garden, when he spoke to Adam and Chava, but in Exodus chapter 20, the voices are plural. Kolot. They asked the question, so why? They explain each of those gathered at Sinai heard the voice of God speak in their own language. There were Assyrians and Egyptians and Jews. Egypt had many different slaves from many different nations and tongues and kindreds and families. They didn't all speak Hebrew, but each one heard the voice of God at Sinai in their own language. There's a medrash on this, which a drash is a teaching, what I'm doing right now. And a medrash is one of those teachings that is written down specifically on Exodus. And it says that God spoke the 10 words in Hebrew and the 70 languages of the nations. Where do we get the 70 languages of the nations? 70 was the number of souls that left with Jacob in Exodus chapter 1, verse 5, and came down to Egypt. They correspond to the various nations of the world. That is not a medrash, that is scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance vis-a-vis their portion of land, he set their boundaries according to the number of the sons of Yisrael, who was Jacob before his name was changed. So we have a total of 71 nations, Israel and 70 others. And those gathered at Sinai each heard those 10 words in their own language. 1,500 years later, God reveals himself to his people on another Shavuot. Parallel is extraordinary. When Shavuot, or Pentecost, had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the holy wind and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under the heavens. And when the sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them, the apostles, speak in their own language. Those gathered in the room heard the voice of the one who walks on the wind. God's voice appeared the same way as it did in Sinai, a strong, rushing wind that carried words spoken from the midst of flames. And those gathered heard the words of God in their own language. Those born of God's holy wind began to speak with the voices of God. They became the lapidot, the fiery torches that carried God's word. What took place in Acts chapter 2 fulfills another prophecy concerning the events that took place in Genesis 11. Mankind traveled across the plains of Shinar. They were all together. They all spoke the same language. Then they wanted to fight against God. God said, scatter. They said, let us build a tower, lest we be scattered. Man has been ornery from the beginning. God indicates some concern about that situation. He says, now, look at this. They are all together in one place. They all speak the same language. Now, nothing they purpose to do will be impossible for them. So God does what? He confuses their language so they can't communicate, and they begin to scatter across the face of the earth. The commandments of God will be fulfilled with our compliance or in spite of us. Our disagreement with God will not stop the plan of God from happening. It'll just stop the blessings that we receive from compliance with his plan. Our sages actually came to faith that when the Mashiach comes, he would reverse the confusion of the language and fulfill Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, which states this, then I will give to the people purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of the prophecy that God gave Zephaniah. The confusion that occurred at Babel was reversed, and now everybody heard the words of God in their own language. A little side note here. Tongues of fire is not always good. James chapter 3, verse 6, describes tongues of fire that are unpurified speech. He says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It defiles the entire body and is set on fire by hell. Not all tongues of fire are ignited by heaven. The tongue James speaks about speaks evil of others. It's a poison. The tongue set on fire by the heavenly torches is a purified lip. It speaks of the things of God. It quickens or arouses the neshama of man, which is the image of God breathed into him. Much was fulfilled on that Shavuot. We stood shoulder to shoulder at Sinai. The phrase shoulder to shoulder is simply a Hebrew idiom that means we were together in one place in close proximity. That's all it means. It means the same thing in English. Those huddled together in a room in Jerusalem were also shoulder to shoulder. And God, as God desired to create a nation at Sinai, his fiery words created a new man and a new people 1,500 years later. Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He refers to us as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We were now born of the wind, John chapter 3. And as James describes us, we were the first fruits of his creation. We were the first fruits of his creatures. We're not the same. Once we are born of the wind, we change. Prior to that experience, we are called Homo sapien. Sapient is wisdom or thinking. We were thinking man. Subsequent to being born of the wind, we become homo pneumatos, the spiritual man, the man of the wind, the man of the spirit. But there is a distinct difference between what took place in the book of Acts and what took place in Exodus. At Sinai, the fiery words of God had a different effect on those who heard them. When God spoke to those gathered at Sinai, we feared and we became weak, and we asked Moses to intercede for us. And so the nation that was supposed to be priests now, by its own consent, desired to have a special priesthood that would intercede between God and man. It is a Levitical priesthood because Moshe was from the tribe of Levi. We abrogated what God had desired for us, to become a nation of priests. When God's fiery words appeared on the strong wind 1,500 years later, the effect was not fear. It was boldness. Those who huddled in fear after the death of Yeshua now poured out into the streets to speak of Yeshua. God's holy wind transfigured their darkness, the darkness of their fear, into light, which manifests as a boldness and a power and joy. Even when beaten, they delighted, they rejoiced in being considered worthy to be beaten for the name of the Lord, John and Peter, after they were arrested. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 reveals the power that they received that day. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and even the remotest parts of the earth. If you're looking for the evidence of God's indwelling presence through his Ruach, there it is. The boldness, the desire, and the joy of speaking about the Lord wherever you go. Let's bring these words and these events down to earth. It is one thing to celebrate what God has done. It is another to implement those words in our lives. These holy days are all Yizkor services. They are services to remember something. I remember God appearing at Sinai and speaking. I remember the holy wind of God appearing in the upper room or the an isolated room in Yerushalayim 2,000 years ago. But that's not enough. The remembrance has to be transformed into action, that I integrate those words and those events into my own life. I believe that the fellowship of the saints is an absolute necessary part of my walk with God. If you're here tonight, I suppose you believe that to be true as well. If I didn't have accountability to my brothers and sisters, I shudder to think what my behavior would be like. There are many things that I've wanted to do that I didn't do because of how you would respond to those actions. And just read it in the papers now. Messianic rabbi goes insane and beats everybody up. I could just see the headlines. And so I didn't do that because I have a group of people I'm accountable to. I'm not being facetious here. I'm not trying to be clever or funny. I am being absolutely honest. We came to understand the truth of the need for fellowship during the lockdown that started a few years ago. I have never been on the phone more than in the first 6 months after that lockdown. People calling, they were going quite mad without contact. Even I, living out on the plains, I love my isolation. I love having neighbors that are miles and miles away. But even I did not deal well with not being able to come in here and fellowship with the people I love, have contact with them, have conversations, sit and pray with one another. Man has many essential needs. Some of those needs sustain the nefesh, the animal soul, while others sustain the neshama, the breath of God that resides in me. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that is carried on every breath that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need the fellowship of like-minded brothers and sisters. That's why the enemy is attacking the fellowship of the saints. Why is trying to hinder it? The supermarket provides me with food to nourish my body, the image of the animal, or as I like to say it, the image of the beast. I'm a beast like any beast of the field. God's fiery words carried on his holy wind feed my neshama and nourish that image of God within me. And the fellowship of the saints multiplies the bread and the waters of life. Mashiach has returned the power that was obscured at Babel, that tower. He has given us purified lips to call upon the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. When we gather together to speak and speak the same language, or vis-a-vis we agree on something, there is little that we cannot accomplish. Messiah has returned man's potential to accomplish the will of God on earth, even as it is in heaven, to proclaim his name, to uphold and to speak truth, to lift one another up, to pray for one another. There is power when I pray alone, But that power is significantly multiplied when I gather together and I'm in one mind and one accord with others. Unfortunately, too often we choose confusion, we choose strife, and we relinquish that power that was given to us. But access still remains. Yeshua prophesied about our potential in Yochanan chapter 14. He who believes on me, the works that I have done, he will do greater works. We need to persist in prayer and fellowship. We should not forsake the fellowship of the saints. May we celebrate the rushing of God's holy wind, not just at Sinai, and not just in some obscure room in ancient Jerusalem. Let us make the events of Shavuot a present reality in our lives. May we be filled with the presence of God anew each day. Pray for the healing of the nations, and then go out and spread the light of God's presence everywhere that you go and in every circumstance that you find yourself in. Let us be like the wind, neither caring where we came from or where we're going. Let us be carried on that holy wind of God wherever he desires to take us. We are the torches of God in this world. Let the light of that flame shine forth, that all men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. All of these events are connected with the same words. Every gift bestowed upon us by a gracious God is either for the purpose of being a witness to his presence or for nurturing the souls of those who already believe. There is no gift given for self-aggrandizement. Those gifts, which is charisma, the same word used for grace, are given not to exalt an individual. They're not given to because of any natural talent that you might possess, because then they're not gifts. They are anointings of God bestowed upon you for the sole purpose of testifying and being a witness for him in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and the remotest parts of the earth, like Brooklyn. Which has a sign on the bridge, "Past here there be dragons." Fearful gathered in that room and were filled with power. They rose up and poured out into the streets, and ere they went, the light of God shone in its brightness, and many saw the light of God's presence, and they heard their words and cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" The world force feeds us fear every day. Every single day, there's another thing that's going to kill you. There's another thing that's going to cripple you. There's another thing that's going to destroy your life as you know it. Every single day, we are being force-fed fear. The world is desperate, and it cries out to hear words of life, not words of fear and words of death. Don't tarry. Allow God to ignite Haner Hashem, the candle of God, which resides in each of us. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, cannot be more clear. My neshama, that breath of God, is Haner Hashem, the candle of God. It is the light of God which resides in me. And may God's holy wind, especially on this Shavuot, fan that flame and turn that little candle into a fiery torch. And maybe we be filled with light and power and courage to speak boldly. On Shavuot, tomorrow night, we will worship the Lord. On the morrow, let us speak of the one we worship the night before. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you that you have chosen these cracked and oftentimes filthy vessels into which you poured Haner Hashem, the light, the candle of your presence, the glory of your presence. I thank you, Father, for the things that you have entrusted to us. And as we serve you, may we not think in terms of what we shall get. May we think in terms of what shall I give to you. Let us be about our Father's business, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen.